Lord, this morning we just want to honor you in this gathering as the one who fills this place from corner to corner and fills our lives. And we're very aware, Lord, that when we come into your majestic presence, we are aware of our smallness and our flaws, but we're also so aware that you love us dearly and that you come to fill our space, to love on us, to care for us. So this morning, I pray that we will remain in your presence as we meditate and hear your word and make it a part of our lives. We bless you this morning. Amen and amen. You are welcome to grab your seat. Good morning, everyone. Wow. Just want to thank the band and the media team. Not for coming and singing here only, but for praying for us before Sunday. And remembering the task that the Lord has given you and taking it before Him, we can feel the time in prayer. And so thanks for being an example for us. Also to everyone at the doors and there in the engine room. You know, the engine room of the church is right here. It's where the generator is and the coffee machine, okay? And that's where we fuel the town. It's holiday, but there's people here early in the morning, especially for you. So if you are visiting us, or even just a member attending church, welcome. This is home. And so let's enjoy the morning together. In about a week's time, it will be Christmas, and we'll take some time to focus on the birth of Jesus and celebrate his life. So I've got the opportunity just to meditate on his life and death a little bit before we move on to his birth on Christmas Day. I was thinking about holiday, and I was thinking that it's often a time where we reflect and we think of what happened in the past year, and we're looking ahead, and we start to, some of us are better with it. We make notes, we make goals, we put it on our fridge, or we've got an interactive calendar or something. Others, we digest in our hearts. And I thought what I want to do this morning is invite us to pray three prayers in this holiday that will help us in our faith journey. And I want to look at the life and death of Jesus, and from that construct for us two prayers that I pray will be on your... It's I say three prayers, it's two and then a bonus one. You know, as we were singing now, I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every fear and anxiety. Shout Jesus. But when I say Jesus, and when I sing Jesus, and when I shout Jesus, what is the substance of what I'm saying? Like, okay, I can say Jesus, and the rest of the set helped us to fill, but I'm I guess I split us. When you say I speak Jesus, what is it that you speak? What is the substance thereof? Because one could say, I invoke the name of Jesus, but it could not be the Jesus of the Bible that you are thinking about. What is the substance of it? Who is he? And what did he do? And what does his life and death do to our hearts? And so I just want to speak the name of Jesus, and I pray that we'll do it over this holiday and do it with substance of the biblical Christ. Amen. Scripture gives us a great charge here. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Be imitators of God. I want to speak the name of Jesus and grow in my understanding, but I also want to be an imitator. I also want to look like him in some ways. Have you seen little children shuffling and they're 3 or 4 years old and you're like, they walk just like their dad. And it's not exactly the same because they're like really a sample of the dad. But the way in which they shuffle and they do their thing, you're like, that's your dad's gait right there. That's his walk. And we can never be Christ in all ways, but we are invited to imitate. What an invitation. And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Even in the givenness of Christ, as we remember that he was a giver of himself and a lover of others, even in that way we are invited to imitate and to follow. Now, we are living in a world that where access is next level. And you know, I often refer to it and try and contextualize our world with the Bible. But access to what people are doing around the world is so easy to obtain. In any case, take this thing out of my pocket. Airport. But that's how easy it is. And we imitate. We imitate those we like and follow. We'd rather wear the clothes they wear because it looks great and people like it. One thing about imitating God is it will not be as easy as picking up a phone. It would require taking the heart to his throne and focus. Focus. God will be seen by the patient heart that looks. And so this morning, let's practice that a little bit. Let's look at him and construct for ourselves a couple of prayers. I'm going to look at the atonement of Jesus, what he did with his life and death. So please, just tap the person next to you and say, for a moment, I know it's holiday, but just switch on your brain. Okay? I won't stay there, okay? I'm going to go a little bit technical. I'm going to finish devotional. I'm going to start with the head, finish on the heart, but don't tap out. What is atonement? Versoening. Read with me. You don't have to read aloud. I'll read. The bridge between humanity's separation from God and restoration is atonement. The bridge that brought us to God is called atonement. Who did that? Under the old covenant, atonement was made possible through the provisional and repetitive sacrificial system. Animals were sacrificed, okay? In contrast, the New Testament reveals that the once-for-all final atonement accomplished through Jesus Christ's sacrifice, effectively reconciling humanity to God and opening a way for eternal relationship. I speak Jesus, a part of it at least is there's someone who did a work of atonement. Someone became a bridge between me and God. And so when I sing Jesus from the rooftops, Jesus over fears, at least one of the things I remember is there is a bridge that has made things that were impossible possible for me. Now, still go on with me. In the work of the atonement of Jesus, it's got two parts. And I'm going to look at the passive obedience of Jesus, the active obedience of Jesus, and then my passive obedience and my active obedience. Hold on. The passive obedience of Jesus, I wrote something out for us. I felt like writing, okay? Through his passive obedience, Jesus willingly bears the consequences of our sin, taking our place on the cross to absorb the penalty we deserve. Our bridge. So when we talk about the work of Jesus on the cross, we'll get to the manger next week. We look at a Savior that walks the earth and yields himself into a very painful situation. We look at Jesus giving a hand to a man to put in a nail. And we remember the words of Jesus when he said, "No one takes my life from me. I willingly lay it down." And so when Jesus is laying down his life, he is practicing what we call in theological terms passive obedience. This is not him advancing, this is him yielding. And sinners are advancing against him. When Pilate speaks and Jesus remains silent, what is he doing? He's yielding. I am giving my life, but remember, no one takes it from me. It is the passive obedience of Jesus that took him all the way to the cross. And even just before death, he yielded. And so when you and I sing, "I speak Jesus," and from the rooftops, remember that. Part of what he has done is he yielded at a very crucial time to become a bridge for us. And scriptures that comes to mind is he was pierced for our transgressions. Who pierced them? Someone else. He did not pierce himself. He allowed. He healed it. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was a chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. Also he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. The passive obedience of Jesus. Okay, let's go on. Let's quickly look at the active obedience of Jesus. Because his work was complex. I wrote something for us. Okay, the active obedience of Jesus refers to his flawless record of obedience. This is not speaking now about his yieldedness. It is speaking about his acts of obedience. This is what he did. This is when he moved. His flawless record of obedience to God's law and will. Through his perfect obedience, Jesus earned a righteous standing before God, which he then graciously gives away to us, our substitute. Crediting those who believe in him with his own perfect record. Jesus died for your sins. And he lived for your righteousness. Both of those things. For as by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so one man's obedience, next slide please. By one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. What that means, let me just read that next slide. Jesus speaks, he says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law. Or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one iota, not a dot of the law will pass from the law until it is accomplished." Who's going to accomplish it? Not me. I can't even follow the laws of the local traffic department. I get these SMSs. "You have been issued 250 rand. Oh, come on. How many fines for 71 in the 60 zone? But this is serious. Because the law will not pass away. It will be fulfilled. What will happen here? Someone will need to come and accomplish God's perfect will in my place. Jesus Christ. Obedient to the laws of God, moment by moment, hour by hour, until his death. "It is finished," the Father said. "You are the first and the only one to have ever done this. You are declared righteous." He says, "I'm taking what I have achieved and giving it to those who call on my name." I speak Jesus. "For we do not have a high priest who is unable," talking about the active obedience of Christ. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Can I tell you something very obvious? Jesus did not arrive as a grown man on Good Friday. Hey, here I am, boop, on a cross to die for your sins. No. He had to live a life. Why? In his life, he had certain temptations. Which ones? All of them. Have you been tempted? Men. Have you been tempted by a woman? Have you been tempted by lust or pornography? Guess who else was tempted in that way? But you and I have not succeeded every time. But there's one who succeeded every time. And his accomplishment in not failing once, when you come to Christ, is granted to you. And so when the Father looks at you, the times in which you failed is eradicated. And the times in which he succeeded is granted to you. Our substitute. Have you done something that has caused havoc in your family? You know it's sin, broken the heart of God, you name it. The same type of temptation came to Christ. You failed, he succeeded. What does it mean when Scripture says you are a new creation? It means now that you come to him, his success in overcoming every one of those temptations which you failed at is now accredited to you. The Father delights. You know, many of us are not doing the work of the Lord because we are ashamed of what we have done, because the true gospel is not in. You are loved, cherished, and celebrated by the Lord, not because of what you have done, but because of what he has done. The active obedience of Jesus wins for you a record of righteousness before the Father. Now you might say, but okay, so I can keep on sinning. You will not. You will not. Love is a stronger force than fear. If you fall in love with him, you will follow him. If it happened, you will follow. Now, that was technical. I'm taking it to us. Remember, be imitators of God, right? How do we follow Jesus in this? I mean, what do we do with this? How do we pray into this example of Christ and make it our own? I've got a couple of suggestions for us and how we can pray the life of Jesus into our lives. Let's talk about, so we had the passive obedience of Jesus where he yielded and accepted. And we had the active obedience of Jesus where he obeyed and accomplished. Let's take it to our lives this morning. I wrote something for you. The passive obedience of the believer. As you journey with God, you'll enter seasons where your primary assignment is not to achieve or to produce, but to humbly receive and embrace the divine role that he has ordained for you. I want to say this in a different way. There are times and seasons and moments in your life where your role is not to accomplish, but to accept and make a peace. To take the life and the lot that he has given you. There was a life, a mission, and a cup given to Jesus. There was a life, a mission, and a cup given to Joseph. It was his cup to drink. He was thrown in a pit, sold into slavery. At the end, he told his brothers, "You meant it for harm, but God meant it for." That was his cup. Job, the master of accepting and passive obedience. Satan tells God, "This man does not love you for you." Of course he loves you. You give him stuff. You make him rich, you give him health, and you give him family. He does not love you for you. God gives him a bitter cup, and he wrestles through it. But if you read the book of Job, you'll see he's not complaining to other people about God. He's complaining up. He's engaging with the Lord. At the end, he says, I've come with nothing. I will accept my lot. The book of Job is a book on how to accept the cup that God gives you in this world. And at the end, you see that there's a blessing in that. What about you this morning? This sounds weird. We're going to get to the active part. In him we obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of who? Of him. Now, this is one of those moments where we feel small. You have not been predestined according to your purposes. You have been put into play in this world to fulfill the purposes of God. And the train of his robe fills the temple. Where do I fit in? Exactly where he has placed you. Who works all things according to the counsel of what you like. To his will, because it is better than what you can think, imagine, or conceive. And godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, there are times when we find ourselves in a place in God's will where our hearts feel claustrophobic. We're like, no, I don't want to be in this pit. I don't want to be in this prison. But through the Holy Spirit, God can lead you to accept your cup and your lot and find a great peace. So the first prayer I want us to take up this holiday, this is my prayer for you, make it your own, is I pray that you will find peace in the cup that God has given you. Please, I'm not telling you now to be passive in all ways. We're going to get to that. All I'm saying is, our lives looks different. Joseph's life was not David's life, was not Abraham's life, was not your life. One of the greatest traps of this world is that the enemy will come at your heart to cause you to desire, fight, and do spiritual warfare to get the cup of your brother that runs next to you. Your greatest desire will become to live the life that was granted to your friend. No one desires the cup of someone that faces more challenges. But when we get trapped into this, and I have been here, when we get trapped into this, it will take all of your capacity to be used and released into the ministry that God has for you, because you'll be dead tired fighting against your cup. He gives it, you push it away. He gives it, you push it away. Make a peace with the lot that the Lord has given you. What is that? He's given you your body. Make a peace with it. Ja, maar ek wil, die kurwe moes anders wees daar. Make a peace with it. So that you can advance. That you can go on. Your husband loves you the way you are. Let's go. Ja, maar ek wou meer hare gehad het. I know. Well, maybe. Do you know what? Your frame was formed by the Lord. Take it. Okay? It's frail in any case. It's going to go to the grave, but the spirit will go up. Amen? Okay. The family you have found yourself in. Let me not go there. Your health. Pray to God for healing. Be as healthy as you can, but certain parts of your life, it is the journey that the Lord has for you. Make a peace. Because you are not good for the active part. If you are not accepting that which is given. But how do we do that? It's so hard. It is hard. It's not easy. The vessel God has given you, your body, take it. The spouse God has given you, and you chose, by the way. Your in-laws. Listen, I want to say this. Your economical provision is from the Lord. It is enough. It is nothing. No one here has got anything compared to what's waiting. We all have nothing. We all have enough. Make a peace with your means, live within it, and enjoy it. If other people can buy 5 ice creams and you can buy one and eat the thing. Go home and smile. Make a peace so that you can advance. How do we do it? The same way Jesus did it. Read with me. He said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even unto death." Why? I don't like this thing. What is about to happen to Jesus, his chosen lot, he does not like in his flesh. He's going to try right now to push it away. Remain here and watch with me. I don't want to be alone at this moment, Jesus is saying. Going a little farther, he fell on his face and he prayed, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup be passed from me. I've obeyed you." Actively fulfilling every iota, every dot of the law. Bending down to the weak. Being with the poor. Touching the sick. Kissing those. Kissing the unkissable. But I want to ask you now at the end of my journey, have I not done enough? Have I not achieved? Please. You have to do it, my son. It is your cup. It is your road. It is your journey. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Are you ready to make a peace with your cup? Because once you have made a peace settles in. And everything is lighter after that. He goes back. 3 verses later, again for a second time, he went away. Just checking. Just checking, Lord. Is there really, is this a way? Okay, it's settled. I'm going to rise, I'm going to do it. I have prayed, I have checked. This is my lot. This is my frame. This is my family. This is my provision. This is my town. This is my call. Thank you, Lord. I will do it. If he did not make peace here, he could not advance into the most important work he had to do. Have you been through the garden? Have you made a peace? Because after making a peace, the greatest parts of your calling lies ahead. First, the passport. This is where David says, this is where he prays. He says, Lord, no, he says, "Be still my soul and know." This is not right now I'm going to do 1,000 things. This is, I need to call myself to silence before the Lord. Take what he has for me and massage it into my heart. The passive obedience of Christ gives us an example. Yield. Don't fight. You will have to overcome emotions, fear of failure, and the fear of missing out in order to make a peace with your cup. Again, I pray that you'll find peace in the cup that God has given you. Pray that prayer for yourself over this holiday and emerge into January a different person. Not what I will, but what you will. Rest in that. Let's go on. Just reminding us, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. walk in love. Now we're going to the active part. Now, okay, we are to imitate him. I already spoke about the young son that kind of walks like his dad. Jesus is the shepherd. He calls us to shepherd. He is the leader. He calls you to lead. He is the gracious one. He invites you to be gracious. What is that? That's imitation. I am following after your footsteps in a wobbly way, but here I go, giving my best shot. So I wrote something for us. Remember, the active obedience of Jesus is what he did. Now, Jesus's active obedience secured your righteousness. But now, from a heart made righteous flows joyful obedience, fueled by two unshakable passions, glorifying God and loving others. Very important, very important. If you are tricked into obeying so that you may obtain righteousness, that is not the gospel. You're not doing that for God, you're doing that for yourself. I'm going to obey so that he might love me more, lift me up, I don't know, sort out my problems. That is you serving yourself in the name of God. If you have received life by Christ, it is done. You are a son. And he says, okay, live for me. You live by love. Lord, what I'm about to do in the rest of my life, I cannot add to what you've given me, but help me to love you and others well. The active obedience of a believer. There's a time to accept and to make a peace. But now, there's a time to get yourself up. This is not where we say, be still my soul. This is where we say, stir up the gift of God that was placed in you by the laying on of the hands. This is not where we say, forgive, make a peace. This is where we say, the body has got many parts. Okay, come on, get up and let's go. The active obedience of Christ and the passive obedience of Christ, we are to imitate in our lives. And so I have a prayer for you. I pray that you actively respond to God's guidance and ways in your life, seeking to please him and serve others. Now here's a tip. You cannot get to number two until you've made a peace. With who you are, what you have, and remember that the calling that he's given you is according to his wisdom, not according to your preference. But what happens with God is as soon as we obey him, sometimes out of duty, it becomes our delight. Have you gone through a difficult time with your spouse and come out on the other side saying, I've never been closer to you? This has been the hardest year, but the best year for our marriage. This is what happens with us and God once we start to walk and obey, especially when we cannot see around the corner. He says, go around the corner. Okay, Lord, I cannot see it. Out of trust and faith, out of duty, I'm going to go around the corner. Whoa, what a delight to trust you and walk with you. This is my prayer for you. Read the Bible, obey. Pray to God, pray for others. Be active in it, reach out. Give your tithe, be more generous. Go to work, go on missions. Respond, respond. Why? Jesus set you a good example. Responding. Follow in his footsteps. Amen. Is this helpful? Can we pray this? Listen, we just, if you are visiting us from another town, can you quickly stand up? Please, I'm going to ask you to come to the front. Don't worry, where's those holiday goes? Just quickly stand up. We just want to bless you. Can we just stretch out our hands to these people because they've got a task to accomplish, not in Hermanus. Now, the heart of our congregation is to impact South Africa. Well, what a blessing if God sent some people here to us. So I'm going to interrupt myself. Will you just get up, put your hand on someone, some of our believers, just bless them and send them back to their place. Where's our people? Quickly, just a 1 minute prayer, because I'm not done. You bless them and you send them back. And if you are seated, can you just pray in the Spirit, bless these people? Say, we are sending you back to fulfill the call that God has placed on you for where you are going back to. Bless you. We bless you. Because this is not about coming to church. This is about speaking Jesus to our towns, becoming imitators of Him. I want to read those two prayers again before I give a final invitation. I pray that you will find peace in the cup that God has given you. In Psalm 16, David says the following, and I prayed this prayer in faith, especially when we left our family and our businesses and everything in Cape Town to go to Secunda. In Psalm 16, David says, the lions have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a beautiful inheritance. The Lord is my portion and my cup. You hold my lot. And I pray that you'll find a peace. But I didn't think my retirement would be like this. There's one thing you need now, and that's a peace. Make peace. It's according to the working of His plans. I didn't plan my son to make that decision. You cannot make decisions for him. Pray and find peace. Amen? Whatever it is. And then, I pray that you'll actively respond to God's guidance and ways in your life, seeking to please Him and serve others. Can we stand this morning and just respond? Let's stand up in this place. Can I ask all my small group leaders, facilitators, intercession people, if you pray in front of church, we're going to pray for some people, just come forward. We want to pray for you if you're trusting God to help you find peace, just in the storm you've been in. 1, 2, 3, quickly come up this side, something's going to move, come with faith. Quickly come out and face this way. If you're trusting God to find peace in your circumstance, quickly come out. Thank you so much. Quickly move. Put out your faith and then put some action to it. Just stand and face this one away. Someone's going to pray for you. You are trusting to find peace. You're marrying your heart with the cup that the Lord has for you. Quickly come out. There's more people, family, children. You are worried to death. The Lord's going to help you. Please come this side for peace. Just lead them this side, please. Quickly lead them over because we're going to use that side. Thank you. There's more people coming. Someone's going to love you and pray for you to find peace. Thank you, sir, for your faith. Anyone else? Just face this way so that the facilitators can see who to pray for. The invitation is open. Know that you'll move quickly from that. You've got it. But you really want to ask the Lord to stir again within your spirit those gifts that He has given to you. And you know it's there, but it has been dormant. Quickly come out. We want to pray for you that the Holy Spirit will renew your faith again and put His gifts on you again. 1, 2, 3. Those people, quickly come out. Thank you for your faith. Just come and stand this. I need more facilitators. If you can pray, if you can pray, quickly come out. We've got a lot of people. Thank you, Malava. The last prayer, it's not on the screen. But if you need to do business with Jesus, just give your life back to Him. That's the most important prayer I have for you for this holiday. A lot of us are moving, coming out. Don't be shy. Quickly come out. I want to prioritize my relationship with Jesus. That means giving your life to Him or recommitting to Him. Quickly come this side. One, two, three. There's people waiting here for you. The Lord knows about you. If you've got a stirring in your heart, respond to that. In this church, we pray, we engage, we're not afraid. Thank you for your faith. If there's anyone else, if you need to be here, quickly come to the front. Quickly come to the front. We want to pray with you. What I want you to do, if you are in your chair and with a loved one or a friend, is to turn to them and to say, if you feel comfortable, is it one of these two prayers that I can pray for you today, to find peace with something or to be stirred again, to be obedient and to follow the Lord and to make a difference? In fact, you can sit down for a moment. Sit down for a moment. If you're shy, you can just ask your friend, wat het vir jou uitgestaan? Party van ons wil nog nie bid nie, né? Dan vra jy net vir jou vriend, wat het vir jou uitgestaan vanoggend? Wat sê die Here vir jou op jou hart? We're going to keep on praying for some people here in front. And so if you've got a different prayer request, if I can just ask some of my leaders just to hang around to pray. I want to formally dismiss you all, and I want to invite you to come back for as long as you are staying here. If you are our guest, the Lord loves you. We love you, and we can't wait to be together again. The Lord bless you. Please grab a cup of coffee or tea before you go. Amen.